90 years immediately before the birth of Jesus and for several years thereafter were literally ablaze with signs of the zodiac. These heavenly signs were discerned and interpreted by the Magi, but the Jews in Jerusalem apparently didn't recognize them. Why? Because they were told not to, as far as astrology. But again, when you grab hold of religion, for so many years, the word zodiac was, I couldn't hardly say it. So imagine me trying to talk about the boat that Navy SEALs use. It's called a zodiac. That's how religious I had gotten about it. But the reality is, there are things they show, but it takes godly wisdom, godly understanding. They cannot be interpreted. The Word of God has to be properly interpreted, even through the Holy Spirit. Why did they do this? What happened? We have to ask those, and the Holy Spirit will reveal it to us, the truth behind it, because everybody knows that if you listen to one story, you don't have all the facts. You're not seeing things as somebody else saw them. But the heavens were declaring this. But the Jews in Jerusalem apparently did not recognize them. Perhaps they did not see the signs because they were not trained in the movements of the heavenly body. More likely, they were unconcerned because they were not even looking for the Messiah who had been foretold in Daniel's prophecy. That's Daniel 9:26. There was one person we do know of who was looking. Simeon, remember? He was in Jerusalem. And God told him that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. In his early work, The Birth of Christ Recalculated, 1978, Ernest Martin sums up the cosmic signs. We are told in the New Testament that the main factor that brought the Magi to Jerusalem was his star. What star or heavenly body could this have been? Though there was an interesting conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn in 7 BC with Mars forming a triangular aspect with these planets in early 6 BC, the planets at the time were at least two diameters of the moon away from one another, and they could not in any way be considered as a single star. The conjunctions of Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn occurring in Pisces are the ones some present-day historians feel were connected with the signs indicated by Matthew in his account of the birth of Christ. That is one of the things I believed, and it's one of the things that helped me to start seeing the truth. We've seen the video. I've played it here several times. Based on other information, again, historical information from Rome, the historical information from the Jews, historical information from the early church that is not recorded in Scripture, and some of these earlier writings, I tend to believe of a later date, like 3 BC. As for the years of 5 and 4 BC, there was nothing astronomical importance that would have impressed anyone to journey to Jerusalem. However, in 3 and 2 BC, the whole heavens burst forth with the astronomical signs and wondrous displays. Another writer, who is unknown, wrote in 1988, the year 3 and 2 BC stood far above any near contenders for a period of exceptional signs in the heavens to herald Christ's birth. What specifically attracted the attention of the Magi while they were in Persia? Now, a little bit about the Magi real quick. I find it interesting. Here in a second when I tell you, they are believed to be ancient Medes. Okay, remember the Medes and Persians were the ones that invaded. However, does anybody know who the Medes are today? Do you know? Yeah. They're the Kurds. Who was trying to kill all the Kurds? Saddam Hussein. If not for that one reason, I think our attack on them was fully justified. He kept violating it. He wanted the Kurds dead. Well, why? I don't understand what the difference, why he wanted them dead. Listen, Saddam Hussein was so fully possessed of the Antichrist that the people who pointed out the Christ had to pay. And so he was going to destroy them, utterly destroy them. Remember, God's not mocked. In the words of Paul Weyerwill, it probably began in August of 3 BC when Jupiter, the king planet, became visible above the eastern horizon as a morning star. Is Jesus Christ not called the bright morning star? Seen by the Magi in the rising, on August 12th, Jupiter came into conjunction with Venus, the bright morning star in the constellation of Leo, the sign of Judah. See, the stars, the planets were telling us all of this. As detailed by Paul, Jupiter, the king planet, had a highly unusual three conjunctions with Regulus, the king star, during the years of 3 and 2 BC. These conjunctions occurred on September 14th, 3 BC, on February 17th, 2 BC, and May 8th, 2 BC. Then on June 17th, 2 BC, Jupiter again came into conjunction with Venus when the two formed a dramatic, brilliant star in the western sky, western night sky, on August 27th, 2 BC. Jupiter came into conjunction with Mars and another dramatic astronomical configuration. A lot of big words. So regarding the stars, or the constellations, their components, the planets, Joseph Cease, in his book, The Gospel and the Stars, offered the following. How then did these magi come to know so much about Christ as an adorable king and savior? Did you ever think about that? Really, who were they that they would know about a prophecy of a king? How did they come to such full conviction that his birth had occurred in Judea? The true answer is by the signs and constellations of the primeval astronomy and the legends connected with them, interpreted as we have been contemplating them in primeval astronomy, conducted these remote Gentile believers. So, I don't believe I'm going to continue on talking more about them later, so we'll tell you right now. It is believed that the Magi were the very same Magi that the prophet Daniel was set over. They interpreted dreams. They would have been in the Medes and the Persians. They had all this in common. And if Daniel, the man who didn't need to hear a dream, could interpret a dream, the man who was thrown into a lion's den and the lions were shut up, I think I'm going to listen to the man who's got the victories on his side. So these would have been men who understood. It's also believed that some of these guys, and particularly this group here, may have actually been of Jewish descent. So, but that's speculation. Just like giving them names, saying there was three. We don't know how many. Could have been two. Just plural. Or it could have been 20. I personally believe it was a significant size of a caravan that when they passed through Jerusalem, they did not dare disrespect Herod. Herod would have had them chased down and killed. You don't go into another man's town and disrespect him. Abraham paid tithes to Pharaoh, to Melchizedek. You paid for the protection. Ernest Martin states, the word star in the first century could refer to a planet as well as a fixed star. Could the star have been the planet Jupiter, the king planet? The historical records show in New Testament about the star of the Messiah chronologically occurred precisely at this time, May 3 BC to December 2 BC. And in this period, early Christian scholars in the first few centuries after the death of the apostles said Jesus was born. So again, everything we have today, we're running on the knowledge of what our wise men were. We have them at the stable. Not accurate. We have three of them. Probably not accurate. Kings, not in particular. We love the song, We Three Kings. But they were men looking. They were watching. They were expecting, because a prophet had told them. God had been silent to Israel for about 400 years. Can you imagine not hearing for 400 years? And some of the last prophecies was judgment against them. Oh yeah, and they were going to get a new king. There are a few theories. Some people think it was a comet. Well, comets don't stay in the area very long. And again, if you look historically, comets have always been harbingers of evil, not necessarily of anything good. About an actual star, we talked about this last week. They're fixed. They may move a degree, but not much. So it wasn't a supernova or a new star, because a supernova, when it dies down, that's it. It's not going to keep burning and flare up again. The light. What about the light? The Bible says that the star moved. After they left, the star moved and it stopped. Which, according to the studies that these men have done through the various writers, Jupiter ran its course and it stopped. And then they're like, okay, here we go. How did they find the house? I don't know. Bible doesn't say. There are a few things. Mr. Leonard here has a speculation, and he tells you straight up, it is his speculation, that there's a well outside of Bethlehem, the very same well that David said, I desire to drink from that well again. That's the one that his men broke through enemy lines to get water from, so he could have that water. Purely speculation. You're getting water from a well, and they didn't have these fancy little huts with the hand cranks on them. They could look down, and if you knew what you were following, and you looked down and you saw it in that well at the gate, what's going to be over top of you? Most likely the star you've been following. Another one of the theories is the Shekinah glory of God. We have actually a Christmas card, and I think we just use it for decorations now because it's a few years old. But it shows that star, and it actually has a beam, kind of like a sunbeam poking through a cloud off in the distance. And it highlights, that one beam highlights something. And that's what some people believe. I personally, knowing how far up Jupiter would have been, and it's not that bright, I think God used his glory to show it. But again, it's all speculation. It's estimated that the time from the birth of Jesus Christ to when they found him was about 15 months. See, there are some things that took place. You got to take into consideration that day 8, he had to be circumcised. Day 8, he was taken to Jerusalem, to the temple, where he saw Simeon. And he was circumcised, and he was dedicated. And then Mary had to go through the purification time. And then there was a little piece of scripture that always got overlooked. And I believe it's in Luke 2, maybe 39. It says that they went back to Galilee. They went back to Nazareth. That's at roughly 40 days. But he was found in Bethlehem. And that's where we believe that Matthew chapter 2 picks up. And it says they went from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. And they found the child in the house. They didn't find an infant. They found a child. It's believed that they came back. Well, why would they do that? I don't know. It's where he was from. Why do any of us do what we do sometimes? But they went back. They found the child. They blessed him. They brought gifts. They brought gold. We know it, right? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The gift you'd bring to a king. The gold to honor him. But this is a new king. The frankincense was used in the coronation of a new king. The myrrh was used to anoint his body for burial. Whether God told these men to do it or Daniel left instructions for them that if they should find him, that you take him gold. You honor the king. You bring frankincense. It smells wonderful. And you bring myrrh, foretelling of what was going to happen. And so they would have found him there. They had stopped off. They had seen Herod. Herod said, hey, when you find him, let me know. I want to go worship him. God told him, don't go back. Go home a different way. They were only about 6 miles away. If Herod was in Jerusalem, that's 6 miles. But the Bible says that the wise men left. The Magi left. And immediately, Joseph was told to take his wife, his child, and go to Egypt. They now had money to pay their entrance fee, to live. I mean, I'm not for certain how Jews were accepted back then, you know, after the last time they left. So they'd have had to have had some place to live. And he said, I'll tell you when Herod is no longer a threat. And then they left, and at that point they went back to Nazareth, where Jesus would be raised. They went, and it fulfilled the prophecy, for I have called my son out of Egypt. But he was there nearly a year. I'm going to abridge most of this and try to finish it up. If you want to read it, I gave you, it's truthandscripture.net. Because there's three more chapters. There's things on the history, the timeline of Romans, and a few other, the sabbatical years and the jubilee years that were taken into consideration to come up with these dates. But I feel this is the wrap up today. So God had sent those men. He began preparing them over 400 years before Jesus. Probably actually closer to 6. It was 605 BC or thereabouts. God prepared them. He started making provision for the new child. How much gold? I don't know. What's fitting for a king? How much gold do you take to a king? When the Queen of Sheba showed up, she didn't show up empty-handed. She brought gold. You always brought a gift. Was it enough maybe that they were able to live above poverty? Very possibly. Well, brother, I believe he had to be butt ugly and dirt poor compared to the King of Heaven. Where the streets in the New Jerusalem are paved in gold. Gates are made out of oyster shell pearls. What are we thinking? He wasn't attractive so that we'd say, "Ooh, look, a movie star. Ooh, it's Brad Pitt. Let's follow him." No. He wasn't somebody that was followed for his looks. He wasn't followed because he had hundreds of millions of dollars pouring out of his pockets. They followed him because the sheep know the shepherd's voice. And subsequently, he did have money, but he didn't show it. Maybe it was just enough to care for him for a few years. Don't know, don't care. Speculation. Could have been $100 million worth of gold. I don't know. Or it could have been just enough for a year's provisions. But we do know that about 1 BC, the angel came back and said, "He's dead." And this is where my whole journey on this thing began. What killed him? What killed the man who, after he realized he had been duped by the Magi, sent his soldiers not to protect the countryside? There wasn't that many soldiers there. It was only one small garrison, believed to be about 100 soldiers. Why did he send them out to murder every baby under the age of two, every male baby under the age of two? Because the Antichrist spirit that he was filled with was trying to destroy the child. Just like the same, it's the exact same Antichrist spirit that was in Pharaoh, who ordered the destruction of every male child. And the study I've learned about all that whole mess is there's only one tribe who refused to be slaves. They weren't just taken over. People never wonder why the cheese is free. A mouse never asks. It just wants the cheese. And so some of Israel did not ask, "What's going on?" But the Levites refused to participate. And so when the trap was set, the other 11 tribes were caught. So out of the one that chose wisdom instead of greed, God brought forth Moses. He brought forth Aaron, set up a priesthood. And now that he brought the deliverer, and the spirit of Antichrist could not have that. The spirit of Antichrist is the spirit of this world. Some people call it mammon. But it is full on the spirit of Antichrist. It's the spirit that was in the garden. It's the spirit that was there with Jesus. It was the spirit, I believe, that got Satan, Lucifer, to fall. The date, I'll talk about Herod here again in a second, the date before I forget it. It's significant, looking back now, that we celebrate on the 25th. For you see, with all the travels, the signs, they've pinpointed it down to December 25th, 2 BC, is when the Magi would have found him. They had to travel 1,200 miles. Now, if they were able to travel 20 miles a day, which was the average, that still only comes up to 60 days. But if you're traveling with a caravan, that ain't happening in 60 days. Months would be more like it. You can only walk so long. So he believes, and looking at what he said, I have no reason to argue. And again, it don't matter. But an interesting thing, he said, if you do the calculations, he said, you'll go back and you can find that if these all are correct, Jesus would have been conceived during Hanukkah, 4 BC. The celebration of lights, also considered the second festival of trumpets. Or tabernacles, I'm sorry. So my journey started, what killed Herod? There's little things. People try to give more detail. He was eaten up. He died of gangrenous worms eating his genitals. The man who ordered the slaughter of how many boys had his own manhood devoured while he's alive by worms. God likes those worms. He's used them on another Roman. But you see, folks, people today think, oh, well, I'm not responsible. Well, we are so responsible. You need to pray. You need to take a stand against the spirit of Antichrist that wants to murder babies. Because you will be held accountable for that. That's innocent blood. Innocent blood is always held accountable. The Bible says that in the end that there will be the blood of the martyrs and the saints beneath the altar of God. He's crying out for justice, for being killed. And God will bring it about. But when I learned about how Herod died, miserable, painful, the only person who maybe died a more excruciating death was that baby who died 33 years later as the Lamb of God. That's why we celebrate. Come Resurrection Sunday, we celebrate. But we need to remember. That's why he said, when you do this, when you partake of communion, and you do this in remembrance of me, what I went through for you. That's why this morning, when Sydney wanted to share with me what happened and give me some, I needed a little bit of information. I might have gone off half-cocked. Back here, I told her and Tim, I said, I know exactly how to pray. I know exactly how, bless God, I'm going to bring call fire down. And God said, what are you doing? I know. I'll pray for mercy. Because that's what Jesus did. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He was praying for mercy. So we celebrate it. We celebrate this birth, this awesome birth. That's the only word I can think I can even come up with. It was awesome that men from a government, a country that held Israel as slaves, watched. They were watching. Israel wasn't even watching. They watched Jupiter rise up, go into Virgo, into constellation of Leo. They watched that. And then they followed that. Be careful following lights moving in the sky now. There are drones flying around. And I can see the ones flying over Mount Gilead from my house. And it's like, what is that? And then, oh, that's a drone. Don't know whose they are. Not going to go shoot any down, so don't worry. Not until we have confirmation they're Chinese. But then you still have to worry about rounds that aren't hitting. But they followed a planet that was moving across the sky in faith that they were going to find the next king of Israel. And if you haven't paid attention, there has not been a king of Israel since they went into captivity. The Maccabees ruled for a while. They brought back holiness to the temple. They were the ones who instituted the Hanukkah. It's actually a rededication of the temple is what it is. It's not just decorating and lighting a menorah. It was rededicating the temple of God. The idols were torn down out of it. But they followed in faith, and they found the child who would soon be king. He's going to come back wearing a crown, and on his thigh it will say King of Kings. He is our king. He was born a child, died a savior, and will return as king. That's who we celebrate. That's why we celebrate. Now, you've heard me talk about so much things over the year about the holidays. Yeah, just about everything we do is pagan. It came from a pagan ceremony somewhere, and the church brought it in and tried to change it. And you know what? If we change it and we use it for that reason, amen. I got a Christmas tree. There's one sitting in the hallway. I don't worship the tree. I prefer to stand with the, it's an evergreen. It's always got life. Tracing my history back, into Scotland, well, they're probably druids, so they worshipped sticks anyhow. And then they went Viking, so yeah, they worshipped other dudes. Our point, that tree, the boughs of holly, they're just things. If we forget why we're worshiping, why we're giving gifts. By the way, we give gifts because that's what the Magi brought. They brought gifts. And we honor each other with with those gifts. But let the joy that you had on that day, even when you were just maybe even reminiscing about watching your children, waking you up at 4 a.m. and then when they got a little older, you finally said, we have a wake up time. Nothing before 7. They're so excited. And that's fine. I love watching my grandkids get in there. Grandkids really are a second chance to watch your kids. And even a part of them that you never, well, part of them that's part of their other half. It's like, you are excited. Carter couldn't stop bouncing. If you know Carter, you know that he was just bouncing. He started bouncing when I picked him up from school. And he did not stop, and I think he's still bouncing. But we celebrate all of this for us. We live for him. At least that's the way it's supposed to be. Our light should shine to the world outside. Not because we walk around with the biggest King James you've ever seen. Not because we got the great big Ithacus on the back of our car. But because we show the love of God. I'm going to end with this. I believe it's James who said true religion is this. This isn't true religion, folks. This is just religion. It's our sequence of worship. He said true religion is this: to visit the widows and the orphans in their time of need. I had a chance to talk to somebody the other day, and they were sharing a story about something they got to do. When they got off work, they came out, and there was an older lady with a baby asking for directions. And this person gave the directions, told him, well, that's this building is now over here. And this person told me, said, I was just about ready to just get in my car and drive away. And this woman could have walked over there. But it's kind of cold. And the person said, I knew I couldn't. So they loaded up the cart, the stroller, and took the woman to the appointment she needed to be at, and then I believe took her home. The grandmother was crying. Because you see, that's true religion. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what being a Christian is. It's not telling people I'm a Christian. It's doing it. When you just had a hard day at work, that you can still show somebody else kindness and love. That'll be your challenge for 2025. I'm not saying every person who comes into your path is who you're supposed to be helping. But when at all possible, you. There's a a country song in particular I'm thinking of that young man joins the military. And his mom asks why. His reply, if not me, then who? They're here. I'm here. Who did God send them to? God puts people in our paths every day to show kindness to. We need to do it. Not parade and walk around telling people how good we are. Because I'm going to tell you something. The joy I saw in that person's face. You can't buy that. You can't buy it. They couldn't repay him. And they had already been run all over town. And they were tired. So think about it the next time you have that opportunity. What should I do? Again, I think it was James who said, if you see them cold, and I might be wrong on the book, but if you see them cold and naked and say, be blessed and be warm, and you didn't give them your coat, yeah, kind of like that. Amen? God will see you through, folks. I'll talk about it next week. But God will take care of you if you're obedient. Let's stand. See, the rain let up now. I think God does that so nobody runs out before service is over, so they get the whole thing. You know, I heard a preacher once, I actually saw the video. The pastor started to pray for the people. And this guy got up and he starts heading for the door. He's going to beat everybody out of the parking lot. He said, hey, brother, how about stopping? I'm about to bless you and you're about to walk out on the best part of the service. And I thought, absolutely. And from that point on, I started blessing you guys. So, let's pray. Father, we thank you. Lord God, we know that maybe some of the information we've learned isn't 100% on. That truthfully, only you know the exact details. But Lord, we are grateful that you sent Jesus. Lord Jesus, we are grateful you came. Father, our desire is to be like you. It is to go the extra mile. It is to give up our cloak. It is to bring peace and harmony. Father, I thank you that all of us have the potential to experience the joy of what true religion is. Helping others who cannot repay us. Father, I pray for all of us that we get those opportunities and that we are aware that we aren't caught up in our timelines. Father, that the treasures we think we're laying up here, they just rot. But the treasure by doing your will for other people in their lives lays that treasure up in heaven. And now, Father, I thank you for your people. Lord God, I bless them. I bless them coming into this new year. Father, I speak life into their bodies. I thank you, Father, for direction, clarity of mind as they go forth. Lord, that you are leading them, you're guiding them. You're bringing about peace in situations that are in turmoil. In Jesus' name. Amen.